You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, you're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I named the show after this bizarre phrase in the US Constitution, more perfect union. The idea is that we're incrementally getting better inch by inch, day by day in our marketing efforts in our business. Well, today I have the great pleasure of welcoming Mitchell Levy. He's interviewed over 500 thought leaders, which is an intimidating notion just to think about that. Leaders from across the world on their credibility, which led him to uncover amazing insights on what credibility really is. And this is a word you're going to hear us talk about a lot over the next little while. Mitchell has been a Silicon Valley-based thought leadership evangelist for a quarter of a decade, chairman of the board of a NASDAQ-listed company, and I just had the pleasure of watching his recently recorded TEDx that he did. We'll make sure to leave a link to that video in the comment in the section below the podcast. He's also an international best-selling author of over 60 books and has created 20 businesses in Silicon Valley, including 4 publishing companies that have published over 750 books. Mitchell, welcome to More Perfect Marketing.
David, it is so cool to hear you read my bio, and I've Googled More Perfect Union just to sort of explore that when we have a moment.
Awesome. So I said credibility is a word that's going to be a motif here during our conversation. What's up with the word credibility with you?
Well, so when I did my first TED Talk, which is 2017, it got me thinking about the world in a different way. And what I realized at the time is I was serving the wrong audience. So as a book publisher, as you mentioned, we published over 750 books. The audience I was serving were people who were still writing their own books. And in 2017, if you still need to write your own book, you did it for one of three reasons. It was cathartic and you needed to do it. You don't think anyone could possibly write for you, or you think that your book will sell because your content's so amazing you don't have to do any marketing. Mm-hmm. It turns out that I don't need to work or didn't want to work with any of those. So we became a done-for-you book publishing company. And David, what we do now, 4 months from the time we start working with somebody, we have ghostwritten, published, distributed, made them an Amazon best-selling author, and they've spent 10 hours or less. So it's the easy button. When I started deploying that new business model in 2018, I ended up having to get new branding. So in 2019, I called myself a global credibility expert after spending 2 days at a branding boot camp. Mm-hmm. And 2 months later, I had a Napoleon Hill moment. And so I woke up one morning, I said, Napoleon Hill, 500 millionaires think and grow rich. If Mitchell Levy interviewed 500 thought leaders on credibility, I'd have a book. Right. So, David, I got the book, but I got a whole lot more than I expected.
Yeah.
And it turned out about 95% of the way through the interviews, I recognized that there's this massive gap. There's this massive hole in the way we're being educated, the way we do things, the way we talk to each other. What happens is I call the opposite of credible dubious. And as it turns out, what I say is that there are more people in the world that are dubious than credible. And I took on a life goal of tipping the balance, tipping the scale between those people that are credible and those people who are dubious.
So if I were to ask you to sort of paint a very broad brushstroke on how somebody behaves in each of those categories, and you know, paint us the most caricaturish example you can, because I think this will help people understand what you mean by dubious and what you mean by credible.
You know, what's interesting to me is if you look at the dictionary definition of credible, it says the quality in which somebody is trusted. I'm going to say that's one third accurate. what's important is that we're not just trusted, but that we know you, we know who you are and how you act, and we like you. So let's talk about the differences. And underneath in this definition, it's the definition of credibility is the quality in which we're known, liked, and trusted. Underneath that, there are 10 components. So I'm just going to do a couple of them. People who are dubious are selfish, manipulative, hateful, pathological, liars, narcissistic, rude. Actually, I'm going to do the whole list. Inauthentic, dishonest, never wrong, know-it-alls.
It's like, I feel like I should be dipping my finger in wine and putting the wine on the plate with each one of those that you said. That was a little nod to all of my Jewish friends out there who understood from the Passover Seder. But okay, anyway.
And Elijah's coming in the door. Yes. Got it. So on the credible side, I'm just going to go through the same list. It's really fascinating. I've never done this before. Thanks for asking. We're talking about people who are selfless, benevolent, loving, virtuous, generous, revered, authentic, honorable, vulnerable, and lifelong learners. So the way to say it, which is different, is I don't think anyone is 100% dubious, 100% credible. What happened when I decided that I needed to spend the rest of my life focused on helping people understand what is credible and to start acting more credible is I realized I needed this is marketing speak now, I needed an arch rival. I needed a nemesis. And as opposed to picking a person, place, or thing, I chose the word dubious because it's fun, it's playful. And David, I'll tell you something, I don't say that often, but it's kind of a fun thing to listen to. In practicing for the TED Talk, I practiced 30 different times. The first time was in front of a group of 80. At one point in time, I think the only time I practiced in person was when I practiced in front of my wife and my mom. Mm-hmm. And an outcome of that practice that I did not expect was after giving the talk, they both feel really comfortable now pointing out when they think I'm being dubious. And it turns out that all I've done is open up a conversation and they are now acting and being my accountability partners.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, just to be clear, I may want to try to argue with them, but when they tell me I'm being dubious, they have to be right because they are.
Well, if it's your wife and your mother, then you probably ought to be anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, interesting. So, and I think that as you were reading those lists, it was very easy to visualize an individual in our lives who behaved in one of those or multiple categories. And probably for us to see some of those things in ourselves as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that we all will step into dubiousness every now and then. And the question is, do we catch ourselves or do we have accountability partners around us who will point them out to us? And I think what's happened over the last number of decades is the accountability partners that can determine the difference between dubious and credible. They've sort of disappeared. They've all been taught dubious. And so we're propagating the negative ramifications of many, many habits, which really are borderline of whether they're credible or dubious.
So let's talk about this in context of business. So we have business owners, entrepreneurs listening who, you know, may want to think about how other people are seeing them based on their behavior, credible or dubious, and what the impact might be either to their clients, to the people they're working with, and maybe how to adjust things. So why don't we start with a little bit of the, you know, what sort of impact this might have on a business as it's reflected with clientele?
You know, the best thing I could do, and you saw this if you watched the TED Talk, but I gave 5 stats in the TED Talk. Mm-hmm. And the 5 stats are so powerful because they're so applicable to every small business. So the first one, 2% of the people who signed up to be interviewed have no integrity because they did not show up and did not say why before or afterwards.
These are the folks who you have interviewed of those 500.
These are the people that I interviewed for the 500.
Yeah. Okay.
And so let's put it this way. If a prospect was interested in your service and you said you're going to call them and then you don't call them and you don't let them know before or after, when you do call them the next time, they are not going to pay attention to you.
Oh, that's right? Like the contractor who's supposed to be repairing my bathroom, but I haven't heard from him for 3 weeks.
Something like it. Okay. You won't hire him again. You not only won't hire them again, you will go out of your way if you hear his name and a neighbor mentions it to say, don't hire that person. Yep. Right? Because that is one of the components of credibility is integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his lack of integrity. What shocked me most was there are two things. 4% of the people came after the hour for a live show. So imagine this, you're being interviewed by the global credibility expert on your credibility, and you think it's credible to come after the hour for a live show. When you've been told that you should come early, when you've been told that this is important, right? And you know, the only thing I could say, this is where that dubious lesson comes in. So imagine once again, you're going to meet clients and you come late. Well, maybe once is okay. But I have to tell you, if you remember the old days, you got people coming in, let's do the other way. You have a job, somebody who you're interviewing for a new job, and they come 10 minutes late and they don't say why, or they say, oh, I couldn't make it. There was traffic. And you're like, well, why didn't you come 2 hours early and wait outside? I mean, it's that lack of not showing up on time. Overall, 23% of people came late. Now, I define coming late as coming within 3 minutes of a live show. Because mm-hmm. if you're doing a live show, you kind of get panicked when somebody is 3 minutes late. Are they going to show up or not? Right. There are two more that were relevant specifically for small businesses. One is when I finally got a chance to talk to somebody and get to see them. And the thing is, when you get to see somebody, you get to know, like, and trust them. I got to see their heart and I got to see what their passion was. And that was exciting. After that, I'd go back to their LinkedIn profile. I'd go back to their website to see how they showed up asynchronously. So what happens for a lot of small businesses, they're really good at, particularly like financial service advisors, get me in front of the client. I'm going to present all the stuff I need to do. And they're going to get excited because I've got passion for what I do and I'm good at what I do. And that's great, but you need the client to get in front of you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So synchronously, many people are really good, but then you look at their asynchronous presence and it's horrible. 80% of the people who I really got to like really had a horrible asynchronous presence. And what I'm talking about, David, is not that it's pretty, not that it's elegant. What I'm talking about is it doesn't represent them. It represents some marketing person's thought on what a good financial services website should be, not who they are.
Ah, okay. So I was actually expecting you were going in a different direction, that there was, something that was incongruent between the way that they behaved professionally, and then you would go and see them, you know, screwing around doing stuff that you didn't feel was reflective of the professional that they ought to be. But you're actually talking about that they are maybe projecting something that is artificial in the way that they're portrayed online.
Yeah, I may not even say artificial. I'm saying they're trying to present the Boy Scout or Girl Scout version mm-hmm. of what somebody in their profession is.
Yeah.
But it has no personality. And so, what people want to do, they want to get to know you. They want to see that servant leadership. They want to see the elements of credibility, which means that you're also coachable, that you'll listen to your peers and you'll see what's going on. And it's surprising to me how many people don't. What you mentioned, by the way, is also true.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a lawyer and you do Facebook stuff and you do all these things that you don't want your clients to do, or you represent your clients doing, but you show up on Facebook doing that, there's inconsistency, right? And that shows a lack of moral fiber. And once again, why would I, if I knew somebody was like that, why would you want to do business with them?
So just to go back and add another word to, I think what you were describing is maybe add a little bit of personality to what exists online about you, because that makes you more accessible to be likable.
I have to see you. Right. And we'll give you one more stat. And then this is the most relevant. This is a shocking one. 98% of the 500 people, it's now 572, 98% of the people could not answer the first question in 10 words or less. The first question is, who do they serve and what pain point they address? So 98% of people could not answer their customer point of pain, who their customer was and the pain point they addressed in 10 words or less without clarity.
Wow. And that's a problem I see a lot. And we talk about a lot on this program as well. So that's one I think that a lot of businesses struggle with, partially because they don't know how to answer the question concisely, because they haven't thought it through, been trained about it, or they feel like they need to be covering so many bases when they don't.
That's probably the biggest thing. And they've been trained, I'll just say, I don't mean this negative to anyone else, because those people that have been trained dubious, that trained dubiously, that's what they've learned. What I'm going to say is we've been taught not to speak with our passion on our lips, not to speak with what we love doing and who we are and how we show up in the world. And if I have to tell you, David, the coolest thing in the world, when somebody walks in, and of all the interviews I did this week, I had one person who was almost 100% sure she came in and she was in that 2%. She knew her CPAP. And it was really beautiful. It was really elegant. And then as I'm listening to her and she's talking what she's saying, it was able to quickly synthesize what she said into what she really, and she's never been able to express this her entire life, into what she really wanted to say. And for her, this is now one of those things that for those people who have their sleep, you're going to change everything. Because if you could show up with your passion on your sleeve, then those people who are attracted to you, your prospects who need you, they're going to see you because that's what you're sharing. That's who you are.
Interesting. And, you know, I think a lot of us struggle with this is that to retrain ourselves, or as I was talking before we hit record, to create habits around the things that we ought to be doing rather than the things we currently do. And I want to shift gears a little bit, because, you know, for folks who are listening and saying, oh yes, that is something that I do that I've really for years been wanting to, you know, get rid of. And that's, you know, one of the dubious column items, right? And address so that I could, convert more sales, or I could attract more people in the first place to my business. How do you recommend somebody even start looking at themselves and saying, gosh, what's the process to add credibility, introduce credibility, replace my dubious habits with credible habits? How does somebody even begin the process?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do with anything like this is recognize it, right? The first thing that happens when you go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting is you need to stand up and say who you are. Hi, I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. So if you're doing things that you don't like, you got to see it. So first, I'm going to do a small commercial plug, pick up the book, Credibility Nation, go to the membership community, Credibility Nation, where the goal is to educate, is to let you see what is credible. And I'm not going to say that I am 100% credible. As I mentioned before, I step into dubiousness and I love it when people tell me that. And so that is a place where you could see it. To do a more a slightly more robust version of that, coming into Credibility Nation, being a member, talking to other people, helpful. Go to your existing clients and say to them, hey, listen, I'm doing a 360 on me. Could you possibly answer one or two or three things that you love about me and one or two or three things that would be great to fix? And see if there's consistency there. See if there's, and fix is probably not the right word. One or two or three things that if I was a different person, or I don't even know how to say it. So I'm going to have to think about this, David, because you're probably the wordsmith.
I would thinking, you know, adjust, or you would like to see me do differently, or, you know, that sort of general.
Yeah, thank you.
But
I wasn't getting it. It wasn't rolling.
Is so useful in a number of ways. It's not just on how to add credibility. Feedback from people can be used in so many great ways.
Oh, well, thank you for stopping me and getting off the horse and focusing on answering that question. Yes. What, first of all, it shows you're credible because if you listen and adjust, you're showing those people that you're coachable. When I did my TED talk, I practiced in front of 30 people, and the talk I gave at the end was so much different. And actually, if you remember, I even quoted the 10th reviewer because what he gave me was so powerful. I didn't do it because I wanted to get brownie points for being coachable. I just thought he completely rocked my world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had many other people who did as well, but I needed to include him because it fit into the story. So the coolest part about going to your customers and asking for this type, they're going to give you a whole lot more than you may have wanted. Now, here's what's interesting. Some of it will be about you, self-improvement. Some of it will be about products that you haven't created in your company yet.
That's interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about how that might get revealed in this process?
Well, the coolest thing for me, when you're both with existing customers who decide they no longer want to use your service, or existing customers when you say, hey, there's a new year, I'd like to figure out what's going to keep you around. What would I do that you'd want to pay me more? Or if I was going to charge less, you know, what would you like that to be, right?
Folks, don't ask the question that way. what else can you give me money to do for you?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't ask it that way. You know, but the thing is, the way I normally would ask it is I've been doing a lot of networking. I have a lot of friends. I'd like to introduce you to some people who I know, like, and trust. Is there a couple things that you could use that we're not delivering today? And some of it might be things you do, and some of it might be things that you recommend your partners do. The thing that's fascinating is if you have a product and you're getting objections, either from existing customers or prospects, you really do need to listen to those objections. Because if enough objections sort of coalesce, that then becomes another product. Was that helpful? Was that too nebulous?
No. That's great, because there is often so much revealed by asking questions like this. Especially, before we started recording, I said, you know, the business that I'm in is helping businesses not leave so much money on the table. Well, you've just revealed a way that they can not leave so much money on the table simply by asking questions, to which the answer is, well, if somebody could possibly solve this problem for me, I would be willing to pay money for it. Oh, you as a business, you can do that. There's your opportunity. So that's great. That's great.
Yeah. And here's what's really fascinating. I mean, so let's say you uncover a whole lot of incremental money. So your choice becomes, do you change your business or add more to your business? A choice. Second is, why don't you continue to be that magnet that's pulling people in? And now you've got people that you're funneling that content to. Now, you may end up making affiliate commissions or referral fees, right? You may end up, those partners that you end up giving enough money to, they're going to look at you and they go, wait, I want to play more. Let's sit down and do, like, our conversation up front, David, is we were kind of tipping around to see, all right, what do you do and who are you? Okay, what do you do and who are you? And how do we play together? Mm-hmm. And what ultimately happens is, how you play it, even if you make a decision today, this is what I want to do with this person, that's going to change as the world keeps changing. And so you want the partners around you to continue to morph with you. You want, if you're your customers, they're going to want you to continue to give more value for the same price. Right.
This is
the way the world works today.
This goes back to that question that you asked before that people can't answer in, you know, 10 words or less. Who do you serve and what problem do you solve? Well, if that's what your business is, I serve these people and I solve this problem. There's so many ways, so many permutations of solving that problem for those people that you your business can go in all kinds of different directions if you're open-minded enough.
So here's what I'll say. I call that the CPOP, the customer point of pain. And if for those people who join Credibility Nation, the course that I have, it is a half hour course and it'll help you articulate your CPOP. One of the things I've done is I've taken those interviews, those 500 interviews, and I now have turned that into a product. It helps people both get clarity on who they serve and then produces, you'll love this, David, it's an interview that's 5 questions in 5 minutes. So imagine watching an interview that's 5 minutes long where you get to know, like, and trust somebody. So scientifically, we focus on, and I'll drop another bomb. We know the phrase know, like, trust. That's what the credibility definition is about. How it works though with humans today, it's trust, know, like. Because you don't necessarily want to know one more person unless you first trust them. If you trust them, you'll get to know them. And once you get to know them, you could decide if you like them. If you don't like them, you're going to go to somebody else. And so it really is trust, know, like is technically. So in the interview, the questions that I ask focus on trust, then on know. And here's the cool part. The like part, I don't actually ask any questions on like. What can happen as I've listened to your previous interviews, if you have a good rapport with your guest or if you're podcasting and you're a guest and you have a good rapport with a host, if the two people like each other, that comes through in the interview. And and so the listener gets to hear that. And for some odd reason, we're not taught these are simple things that I don't mean simple like if you don't know them, you're stupid, because that's not true. We just haven't been taught the basics, or maybe we were taught when we were young and we just decided not to listen to Ma and Grandma. And so it's going back to the basics of treating people with respect and listening. And so if you do nothing more than that, your business will thrive because your customers are going to tell you what their needs are and how you serve. I'll leave with one last thing. When you have your CPOP, my CPOP, by the way, is humans that want to be seen as credible. For small businesses, it's small businesses who want to make more money in a credible way. I mean, it's just kind of simple. And if you know your CPOP, what happens is with that lens on, you will go back to your website. You're going to go back to your LinkedIn profile. You go back to whatever platform you play on. And with the lens of your CPOP, you're going to look at it and go, wait a second, I need to update it. I'm not talking about this. I don't have customer testimonials here. I'm not showing enough heart. And it really is, for those people who have gone through the interviews, transformative in terms of who they then become, because all they're doing is they're echoing what they love doing and how they serve.
Brilliant. I had seen in your notes to me CPOP, and I was hoping we were going to get to that. Thank you for covering that. And this is these interviews that you mentioned are available. Is it inside Credibility Nation? Is that where people can find this?
So yes, we also are external. So I have three different podcasts, and the primary one starts at Thought Leader Life, and then there's a bunch of other brands. What we've done inside of Credibility Nation is a Credibility Nation show, and we've picked those particular episodes that we find very informative, and we've packaged them up into learning. And so there are, it's 10, as I mentioned, it's $10 a month. And it's, what's really cool are, for the rest of this year, I'm working with folks to build villages, to build an opportunity for like-minded people in the area they serve, and to be able to address them with the fundamental currency of credibility. But then who's better to focus on a particular subject area than the person who is in charge, the person who knows the most? And so I'm working with village leaders to drive a program where they're bringing people in. It's a great place that they hang out. They learn and grow both credibly and have a conversation about what they do. And then from there, you know, once you've built the trust, many things are capable based on what goes on?
Okay, so Credibility Nation is an online community portal, basically, in very broad terms, that has all this stuff going on inside of it that you've been discussing, plus all of the ancillary things that you mentioned as well, which are external to it. And I know there's a lot more, but I wanted to be as concise as I could. If somebody's interested in checking out Credibility Nation, understanding more about what you're offering there, and taking part in it, where can they find out more about it?
The most simple answer is go to creditabilitynation.com.
I was expecting it was going to be dubiousnessanonymous.com, but I'm glad that you made it easy to find.
Yeah, and Dubious Anonymous. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if I have that URL yet.
I'll go buy it right now.
Although I think I picked up Dubious Nation and then redirects it to Credibility Nation. So,
although you may not want those folks there.
And I think what happens is, for those people who want to read it in book form, the book has the same name, Credibility Nation. It's in the Audible version. It's a 2-hour listen. It'll completely transform your thinking processes. And if you go into Credibility Nation or Google my name, Mitchell Levy, my contact information is fairly easy to find, and happy to set up a call. I guess I'll leave you with one last URL, MitchellLevy360.com or MitchellLevy.com. There are places you can go there to get my calendar, so you can book time directly on there. If you're thinking about being Village Leader, I would love to talk to you. Otherwise, come and check out Credibility Nation. It is one of those places that it's nice to be able to show up at a place where you can almost immediately know, like, and trust other people. And so it's important for us to surround ourselves with the right type of people. And that's what we're doing at that location.
I love the banner heading here. It says, for humans who want to be seen as credible. And there's a great video where you introduce the entire concept right on that page as well. So we'll leave links to everything that you've mentioned here, but creditabilitynation.com certainly is a place that everybody should check out. Mitchell Levy, thank you so very much for spending time and diving into this word credibility. I'm now going to go back and listen and count the number of times that word was used. And
oh, that's interesting.
I imagine it came up quite a bit.
I'd love to hear that number.
I'll put that in the show notes too.
Anyway, oh, fantastic.
Thank you so very much for joining us. And folks, thank you for hanging out with us as well here on More Perfect Marketing. I'm David Baer, and I look forward to having you join us once again on a future episode.
Thank you, David. You're awesome.
Thanks.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.